our subject this morning is the joy of the Lord, which is taken from verse 10. The joy of the Lord. In chapter 8, verse 10, I read once again. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them. This sending portion is to send help for the poor, for the needy, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then I want you to turn also to chapter 12, Nehemiah. Chapter 12, Nehemiah, we have a cross-reference or a parallel text that speaks of this joy. And that is in verses 42 to 43. Nehemiah chapter 12:42-43, I read to you the last part of verse 42. And the singers sang loud with Zerahiah, their overseer, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. Why? For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Just keep a bookmark on that chapter and we turn back to chapter 8 verse 10. And so here there is a connection between chapter 8 verse 10 and also chapter 12. 42-43. We read in verse 9, though the people were weeping, mourning. Why? Because they realized, or under the preaching of the word of God, they realized of their failing, of their sin. And they realized that they have sinned against God and turned away from God. And so they were weeping and mourning. And yet, Nehemiah and Ezra, together with the leaders of Jerusalem, reminded the people that there is no reason that they should not be promptly rejoicing or be in abundant joy. For the people were told to rejoice. Why? For the joy of the Lord is their strength. We read here that the vast congregation, men and women, those who are able to understand, and I believe it includes children too, though it is not mentioned, that under the teaching of Ezra, under the preaching of the sound word of God, it awakens them, it cuts their heart, and they felt the edge of the law like a sword, opening up their hearts, tearing and piercing asunder into the deep recesses of their sinful heart and convicting them of their sin. And that was the time, that was the moment they felt the comfort of the gospel and heard the sweet gospel sound and saying to them, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not, nor weep. Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be it sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, they that are in the Lord, they that are were repentant and sincerely turned to God, they are right now bidden to rejoice. The great news of the gospel can only be printed out on papers of tears, on papers of true repentance. Dear friends and brethren, Have you ever seen clearer sunlight than after the rain? After a time of rain, do you not see clearer sunlight? Then the sun transformed the raindrops into sparkling jewel. Then the flowers, we look at it and it appears to us with fresher colors, and the birds sing with notes more rapturous because they have paused a while. Therefore, when the repentant sinner has been saturated with the rain of repentance, the clear shining of forgiving love makes the flower of gladness blossom all around. So it is, brethren, for you and I, for those of us who are in Christ, for those of us who have been touched, convicted by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should know more, if you are truly in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should know more, live a life of mourning and in sorrow, but that we may rejoice, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. The steps by which we ascend to the heavens of delight are usually, not during the time of banqueting and feasting, but usually moist with tears. Grief for sin, my friends, is the porch of the house beautiful, where the guests are full of the joy of the Lord. I hope that through the meditation of this text this morning, that those who truly mourn will discover and enjoy the meaning of that divine benediction which the Lord Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount: "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." From our text, we shall draw several principles, which is, firstly, the source of divine joy, or the source of joy, the joy of the Lord. And then secondly, we want to look and consider from the text, the source of joy is to all who partake of it, the strength of divine joy, the strength of divine joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And then thirdly, the strength of divine joy manifests itself practically. First, the source of joy, or the source of divine joy. And this joy is not any other joy. Just as Jesus says that the peace that he gives to us, not as the world giveth, but giveth it from the Lord to his people. And so it is here too, that this joy springs from the Lord Jesus Christ as its source. It is of divine origin. Since our first parent fell in the garden, man has too often, you and I, very often, we sought after enjoyment from the devil. We sought after enjoyment and pleasure of the world, thinking that it will satisfy us. No, it does not. Sinful man, with infatuated ambition, has tried to find his delight or her delight in this sensual appetite, and to content his soul with the pleasures and joy of the world that cannot satisfy an undying nature. However, brethren, we who are in Christ, we are not left to search for that joy on our own. Praise and thank God that in his mercy and his grace, it is brought to our doors by the love of God, our Heavenly Father. Joy unspeakable, joy refined and satisfying, benefiting immortal spirit. God has not left us, brethren, to wander among those unsatisfactory things which ridicule those who chase after those things. God has given us, man, created in his image, an appetite which carnal things can never satisfy, and He has provided suitable satisfaction for those appetites. He has stored up at His right hand pleasures forevermore, which even now He reveals to us by His Spirit to the chosen one, to the elect of God, whom He has taught to long for them, to seek after that joy. The special and peculiar joy, which is here called the joy of the Lord, springs from God and has God as its object. This joy is not targeted at any other thing. This joy of the Lord is from God and it is targeted at God. The believer who is in a spiritually healthy state or condition rejoices mainly in God Himself. The true believers do not enjoy or rejoice in seeking after the things of the world. The Christian is happy because there is a God, and because God is in His person and character what He is. All the attributes of God become wellsprings of joy to be thoughtful, contemplative, to the contemplative and thoughtful believers. God is a God who cannot die, faithful and true to His promise. He is all love, and at the same time infinitely just, supremely holy. There is everything in the character of our Jehovah God, both to purify the heart and to make it glow with delight. How pleasant it is, and I trust that it is pleasant to you, to be contemplative and thinking over in your mind and run it through in your mind all that the God of the Bible has done for you. How He has revealed Himself of old. How especially He had displayed His glory in the covenant of grace and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh friends, if you have not tasted or come to this understanding or appreciation of what God has done for you, for undeserving sinners, and even for the Christians, not just for the unbelievers, may I suggest to you, spend some time to reflect and to think of this God. How delightful is the thought that He has revealed Himself to me personally, to you personally, and to make me see in Him as my Heavenly Father, my friend, my helper, my refuge, my God. The sure promise of God in Hebrews 8 verse 10 is, I will be to them. Who are them? The people of God, the people of the covenant of grace. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Brethren, there is no richer comfort or consolation to be found. Even the Spirit of God can bring nothing home to the heart of the Christian with greater delight than that blessed contemplation. To think, to be reminded, and to ponder over this love of God upon me, undeserving, wretched sinner. When the child of God, after admiring the character and wondering at the acts or the works of God, what He has done, can all the while feel, He is my God. Friends, can you say that? Truly say that in your heart, that the Lord Jesus Christ is my God, my Savior, my helper, my protector, my deliverer? Can you? He is mine. I have taken Jesus to be mine. He has taken me to be His. He upholds me with the hand of His powerful love. He upholds me with His grace, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, having loved me with an everlasting love, What did he do next? And with the bands of loving kindness, he has drawn me to himself. I forsake him. I turn away from him. But yet in his mercy, he sent forth his Spirit to lead you, to draw you by his love and grace. My beloved is mine and I am his. The repentant sinner who is filled with such joy would dance like David before the ark of the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord with all its might. Another aspect of the joy of the Lord enjoyed by the Christian believers is derived from a deep sense of reconciliation to God, of acceptance with God, and yet beyond that, of adoption and close relationship. Does it not make a repentant sinner to rejoice, to know that though once his or her sins had provoked God to anger and separated him and or her from God, does it not make a repentant sinner to rejoice, knowing that his sins that provoked God to wrath, they are all now plotted out? Does the plotting out of your sin by the Lord Jesus Christ through his blood invoke in you this joy? Not one, not any of your sin left unplotted. Every of your sins are plotted out. Though once he or she was estranged from God, separated from God, far from God by wicked works, yet he or she right now is made nigh or drawn near by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the true Christian, genuine born-again believers, the Lord Jesus Christ is no longer an angry judge pursuing with a drawn sword, but a loving Father into whose bosom the Christian pour out their sorrow, their grief, and find ease and comfort and peace from every pain of heart while living as pilgrims, sojourners in this sin-cursed world. Brethren, to truly know God, to truly know that God actually loves us, is not a subject or a theme to be intellectually understood, but to be experientially exercised. It must be, and it comes from saving faith. It must come from an experience. And that is why we say, and I say again, that Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a real person. And that person is the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a subject to muse upon in silence. A matter to sit by the hour together and meditate upon. If you truly want to know that God loves you, you must taste it. You must experience it. And it only comes when you truly turn away and repent of your sin and seek him as your Savior. Brethren, think of it this way. Think of it personally to yourself. For God to pity me, I can understand. For God to condescend to have mercy upon me, I can comprehend. But for God to love me, for the pure to love a wretched sinner, for the infinitely great and holy to love a worm, to love something made of dust, is matchless. a miracle of miracles. Is this a marvel? Is this not a marvel? And is this a marvel to you? Do you feel it that way? Such thoughts must comfort the soul. And then to add to this, that this divine love has brought the believers into actual relationship with God. A living, intimate relationship. What did Paul tell us concerning the relationship of God's people, the church, with Jesus Christ? Christ is our bridegroom. The church is the bride of God. That is how close it is. How intimate that relationship is. So that those whom Christ died are adopted as God's children, as God's daughter. And this again is a river of sacred joy to those who are in Christ. Ask yourself, unto which angels did God said at any time, thou art my son? Through Jesus Christ, the firstborn, Christian believers are made members of the body of Christ, the family of God. What joy it is, isn't it, to be in sonship, or should I add also daughtership, with God, and joint heirs with Christ? Is it not true that if we truly understand it a little bit more, and then we realize that words are insufficient to express this? Moreover, the joy springing from the spirit of adoption is another portion for the believers. A genuine Christian cannot be an unhappy person who can cry, Abba, Father. Can it be? The spirit of adoption is always attended by love, by joy, and by peace, which are the fruits of the Spirit. For we are told in Romans 8:15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of liberty and joy in Christ Jesus. But then we ask, how, or rather, I ask again, do you have such joy, my dear friends? A joy of divine origin in your heart now? Then a further aspect of the joy of the Lord is that it springs also from an assurance of all that concerns the believer's future, all that concerns you in Christ for your future, whatever it may be. It is guaranteed by divine goodness. It is guaranteed by divine goodness. That being the child of God, that being a children of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, the love of God towards us is not a mutable character, but it abides and remains unchangeable. No matter what. Remember again the words of the Apostle Paul. Who can separate us from the love of God? I suggest that you go back and read that passage. The believers feel an entire satisfaction in leaving himself or herself in the hands of eternal and immutable love. Is that your portion? Is that your experience, brethren? Have you lost it, for those of you who are in Christ? Then pray for it. Pray for it. Ask that God the Holy Spirit will revive that in you, that you may once again appreciate and enjoy the joy of the Lord. However happy I may be today, if I am in doubt concerning tomorrow, there is a worm at the root of my peace. Although the past may now be blessed in retrospect, and the present fair in enjoyment. Yet, if the future be grim with fear, my joy is but shallow. Oh, I trust, dear friends, that you are not in that state. I trust that you are, or you have, that assurance that all your future, your eternity, is guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ. If my salvation be still a matter of hazard and jeopardy, unmingled joy is not mine. It is a false joy. And deep sense of peace is still far, far out of my reach. But when I know that He whom I have rested in has power and grace enough or sufficient to complete that which He has begun in me and for me, when I see or I look at the work of Christ on the cross to be no halfway redemption, but a complete and eternal salvation, when I perceive that promise, when I can see by the eye of faith, and that promise are established upon an unchangeable basis, then my soul has perfect contentment, perfect peace, perfect satisfaction. Why? Because that promise is yea and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ, and ratified by oath and sealed by His blood. Sealed by His blood. It is true. It is true. We do not deny, for all genuine Christians, that looking forward to that day, may, or rather before that day, where we can truly enjoy that perfect joy in the Lord Jesus Christ, there may be long or short seasons of tribulation, of affliction in this life, but the glory is at the end of them. Battles may be foreseen, and we have to go through it till our last breath as Christians, but woe unto the Christian who does not expect them. If you are a Christian and you expect, like what all this health and wealth gospel preacher tells you, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you will have all the blessing, and that you will not go through any affliction, no suffering, no persecution, no opposition, and if you are looking for that, I tell you, friend, you are wasting your time. It is not in Scripture. You have imbibed all this false teaching from all this health and wealth gospel preachers. All this social gospel. Jesus did not die on the cross to make you rich. I recently read this article that was sent to me. No. That is not the gospel. And if you are a Christian, you think that by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, all will be well. You will be rich. You will be healthy. And you can have all the things of the world. Your shopping, your whatever, forget about it. You're not going to get it. You are deluding yourself. You are a mistaken Christian. But the eye of faith, look beyond the tribulation, look beyond the present suffering, and look unto the celestial city, the city of God. Look at the crown of glory that will come soon for the believers. And we are told in Scriptures, are we not? Paul says to Timothy, teach this to your church, to your members. What is that teaching? Endure as soldiers of the cross. For our affliction is but for a moment. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, or rather in Thessalonians, and then in Corinthians he says, it is a light affliction. It is only for a moment. Believers, yes, we do not deny the fact, while we continue our pilgrim journey here, we have many Jordan rivers to cross. rivers of sickness, rivers of sorrow, rivers of pain, rivers of disappointment, rivers of being afflicted of all sorts, rivers of being ridiculed that you are a Christian. But faith casts her eye on Jehovah, crossing the rivers with you, with me, with the believers. And the believers anticipates the day when we shall land at the other side of the shore and enter into Jehovah's rest. Brethren, when we have received these priceless truths, these priceless doctrines, and we really understand it a little further and a little deeper into our souls, we are satisfied with full and favor of the goodness of the Lord Jesus. This is the Christian hope of enjoying God's glory. Time does not permit me to dwell more on this first principle, so we move on to the second principle, which is the joy, or rather the strength of joy. This joy of the Lord is a source of great strength. It is a source of great strength only to the Christian believers. It is so because this joy arises from consideration which always strengthens the soul. When we look and meditate on the Word of God, when we think of what God has done for us on the cross of Calvary on my behalf, it gives strength to my soul. Very much of the depth of my devotion to God will depend on our thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness on what? Thoughtfulness on the Word of God. You see, brethren, that is why it is so important for us to set aside time to make effort to read and meditate upon the Word of God. Because the depth of our devotion to God will depend upon our meditation. Many people, after coming to church, after having received a doctrine, put it by the shelf. They are off the docks. They have received the truth. They are content to keep that truth on hand as bedstock. What benefit can this be to you, friends? To store your wheat if you never grind the corn for bread or sow it in the furrows of your fields? Is there any good? Is there any benefit to store it up? He or she is a joyful Christian who uses the doctrines or the teachings of the gospel for spiritual meat, for spiritual nourishment, as they were meant to be used. Now, to contemplate the great truths of divine election, to contemplate the great truth of eternal love, of covenant engagement, of justification by faith through the blood of Christ, and the indwelling and perpetual abiding of the Holy Spirit in His people, is to do the contemplation. To turn over, to meditate, and to meditate again and again on those things, is to extract joy from them. The joy of the Lord does not come to you just like in the old days, manna fall from heaven. Brethren, you must seek for it. You must pray for it. You must ask for it. You must pray that the Holy Spirit will increase that joy. Yes, at the time or at the point of your salvation, indeed, the Holy Spirit, and joy, as you know, is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is given to the believer the moment the believer believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and receives Him as his or her personal Savior. But that joy can go low. And therefore, there is a need for Christian believers, Please take note, I say Christian believer. I'm not talking to the unbelievers. The unbelievers will never be able to enjoy or have this joy of the Lord until, in true repentance, they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the Christian to have more of the portion of joy, to increase that joy, you have a responsibility. You are to meditate, turn over, to extract that joy. And this is strengthening to the mind and the heart of the believer. To press the heavenly grapes. How? Staring into the sky, looking for visions? No! By meditation, by prayer. It's a spiritual exercise to strengthening the soul. Joy comes from the same truths which support our strength and comes by the process of meditation and prayer. Is there any wonder why so often Christians, as I said before, and I said it again, walking with their heads down, doom and gloom, no joy, no strength, no testimony. Because others look at you, what is the difference? What is the difference between you when you go through all your troubles? When you go through this pandemic, you are as fearful, panicking, shaking. And you tell me, oh, trust the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when I look at you in doubt. Oh, my friends, forget about it. Moreover, the joy of the Lord within the believer's heart is always the sign and hallmark of vibrant spiritual life. Holy lifelessness indicates spiritual vigor. The Christian who has spiritual joy gains it by communion with God. But communion with God is the surest generator of strength. You cannot be with a powerful, almighty God without getting strength yourself. For God is always a transforming God. Regarding and looking upon Him, our likeness change till we become in our measure Christ-like. Further, the believers who possesses the joy of the Lord find strength in fortifying himself or herself against temptations. He has all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, which the world cannot proffer him or her. He is already spiritually rich. He who shall ensnare or tempt him with the wages of unrighteousness or the pleasures of the world, he cannot be tempted because he is rich in Christ. He is already satisfied. Who is he that can seduce him with pleasing baits? The rejoicing Christian is equally proof against persecution and tribulation. Does it sound strange to you? The rejoicing Christian is one that proves against persecution and tribulation. Can you be rejoicing in your time of persecution and affliction? Only the Christian can. But sad to say, we have Christians who do not exhibit that. And therefore, our testimonies are destroyed, as I said earlier on, when others look at us, particularly at a time of sorrow, of pain, of troubles, of difficulties, of challenges. How we respond as believers, as Christians, speaks a volume to the world. And they look at us, no difference, no difference. You are as sorrowful, as troubled as I am. But of course, I am not speaking of that external joy and smiling away, and therefore, during our time of sickness or trouble, we call for a banquet. No, we are talking about the inner joy. Even inner joy despite, or we can say inner joy in spite of. And you can add to that, in spite of, despite. Only the Christian can do that. In tears. Yet, there is this joy inside. As I said, such Christian is moreover made strong to bear affliction. For all the sufferings put on him are, according to the word which I said just now, light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us, or for him, or for her, a Christian, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. And then finally, I must move on quickly to the third principle, which is the practical expression, or the practical appearance of joy. How do I know that you have such joy in the Lord, the joy of the Lord in your heart, in the deep recesses of the heart? How do I know it? How do you know that I have such joy? First of all, observe some of the fruits of the holy joy and pious strength. First, it leads to great praise. The singer, as I referred to you early on in chapter 12, the singers sang loud. Their singing was hearty and lively. The answer to question 1 of our Westminster Shorter Catechism did not say preaching and praying are the chief end of man, but the glorifying of God, of which praising God vocally is one form. Preaching is sowing, praying is watering, but praise is the harvest. God aims at His own glory, so should we as believers. And whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, saith the Lord. Psalm 50 verse 23. Therefore, brethren, be diligent, you and I who are in Christ, be diligent to sing the praises. Of course, sing it with understanding. Let us be glad when in the congregation we unite, like what we do on the Lord's Day worship, in hymns and psalmody. The singing of God's people should be with divine strength, more constant and universal. May the Lord Jesus give us again a singing time and make us all praise Him with heart and with the voice, for He has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Psalm 126 verse 3. Let us praise the Lord from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Are you doing that? Can you do that? And can you do that especially in a times of sorrow, pain, sickness, weakness? Oh dear friends, truly we are living far below our spiritual privileges. We have not really known the Lord Jesus Christ and taste of that heavenly joy. It is so far from us, especially in our days. Christianity in this country and in our lifetime has gone down the drain. We are just mere coming to the church merely just for formality. Oh, let us turn back to the Lord and ask for that revival. The next expression of joy is great sacrifice. Look at verse 43 of chapter 12. That they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. What day is that in which the Christian believers now made or makes great sacrifices? And sadly, as I said, very few Christians make great sacrifices and rejoice. The love and grace of God in our hearts. The love and grace of God in our hearts. If you are truly touched by the love of Christ, if you are truly moved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it should constrain you to joyfully make sacrifice unto your God. The Lord Jesus Christ done that we may have much of this for the bringing in of the fires, for our offering of praise, not just with our mouth, but with our substance. The bringing in of the tithes to the household of God is one way to the blessing. As says the scripture, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in thy house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Malachi 3:10. And then the text adds, in chapter 12 verse, and look at the second half of verse 43 in Nehemiah 12. The text tells us further that it leads to family happiness. The wives also and the children rejoice. You see how contagious this joy is? In a sense, contagious in the right sense. How influencing it is. I hope this is also in our church. I hope to find happy families, happy household, where the joy is not confined to one, but the whole family partake of it. And if it is not so for you, oh dear friends, pray. Pray for your family members and loved ones. Cry to the Lord that the Lord will save them and bring them into the covenant family. Do you have such burden? Or are you so occupied with so many things of the world that you have no time, no consideration, no thought of your family members and loved ones who are outside of the kingdom of God? You are so busy, so taken up with so many other things, which, as I said before, may be necessary and legitimate, but don't be deceived. Satan can use that to distract you too. And then you focus on all these other things and you justify, and by telling yourself, am I not supposed to work? Am I not supposed to study? Am I not supposed to spend time to for myself and this and that? But you neglect and you spare no thought on this. Oh dear friends, send out the heat of your saving faith into your house and let all your neighbors participate in the blessing. For so it is in the conclusion of our text, we are told. Chapter 12, verse 43. What did it say in the conclusion? The joy of Jerusalem were heard afar off. Afar off. Can our neighbors here in our community sense that joy in this congregation? I doubt. I really doubt. And I know that I have also failed in my testimony these 3 years with you, and even in the past. Oh, let us pray. Let us repent of our sin. Let us plead for the Lord to revive us, His people. The joy of the Lord should be observed throughout our neighborhood, and many who might otherwise have been careless of true religion will then inquire, what makes these people glad? What makes the congregants of New Life BPC London glad, happy? Each time I see them leaving the house of God with this joy, or do they see us just like them? Grief, gloom, downcast, weary, sad, no life. Oh, dear friends, what makes us? You see, brethren, your joy in Christ will serve as God's missionary. Your joy in Christ shall be used of God as God's missionary. Dear friends and brethren, this joy, the joy of the Lord, its source, its strength, its practical outcome or expression are within our reach. It is not beyond us. Is it possible for a for a Christian to enjoy such joy in the Lord? Yes! Affirmative! Well, very quickly, as I said before, and we, in fact, it's from the passage. How do we get this joy? How do we increase this joy in our hearts? First, look at what they did. They heard, they were attentive. Chapter 8, verse 3. They were attentive to the word of God, and then submitting themselves to it. I want to very quickly go through it, but you take note. Attentive hearers of God's word. Verse 3. What's next? They understood clearly the word of God. Verse 12. They were never content with hearing a sermon unless you can understand it. And so they understood the word of God. The Holy Spirit teaches you the meaning and use proper means for finding out that meaning. Thirdly, what happened? Beside attentive, understood clearly. Verse 12. Verse 16. They were eager to hear. Chapter 8. What God had commanded, they did. And so, if your joy in God leads you to practical obedience, you may rest assured it has made you strong in the very best manner for the glory and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, let us pray that the Lord will help us, enable us to be strong people, and consequently, a joyous people in the strength and joy of the Lord. May sinners in great numbers look unto Jesus and be saved.